Splinters of Jade grapples with mature and sensitive topics, which could be triggering for some listeners. There may be scenes involving the themes ranging from alcohol and drug use, suicide and forced marriages, to violence, horror, and the dehumanization of certain castes, classes, and nations of people. Please see the show notes for episodes of details. Listener discretion is advised.
You are listening to Splinters of Jade, the Legend of the Five Rings role-playing game actual play podcast. I'm your game master, Chris Garvey. Not that Rhodes and Rokugan are all that good to begin with, Kuni Guru is played by Buell Richardson.
May the Kami of the Earth aid me in this.
Kitsuki Akira is played by Steve Lanslow Bartolome.
Two explosions.
Wow.
And two blank.
Yogo Sojabo is played by Brendan Thorson.
Ew. I hate that fish.
Now on with our show. You're awoken by the sound of a bell. This is a, metal hollow bell sound. And as you climb out of bed and you follow the sound, you see a glowing form. Getting closer, it appears to be the form of a human. Are you going to approach further?
How close are we right now?
In range bands, I would say it's about 4.
So we're still a ways away.
You're a ways away. You can see the shape of a human. It's outside the village. And, I mean, if you were shooting an arrow, you could reach it.
I will keep approaching some.
Yeah, look to my companions and cautiously start approaching.
I will have slip that kunai in my sleeve just in case.
Left hand is definitely on the worry stone.
Worry stone's getting ever smaller.
Yep.
Just a little bit, yes. Maybe in an epoch it'll become 2 inches instead of 3.
As we're getting closer, are we seeing anything?
Is there any other people around?
There's no one else coming out.
Okay, good.
So, it's moaning at us. It looks to be otherworldly. May the Kami of the Earth aid me in this as I strike down this otherworldly being.
I stop him. Oh, where is a Toritaka when you need him? Greetings, noble spirit. What brings you to this plane?
My death.
How are they dressed?
They are, as you've gotten close enough, you can see that they appear to be dripping wet.
Great, a drowned dead. This is, I'm saying this in my head.
Please, go further. Explain to us where and how you died, that we may assist you.
Their arm slowly lifts up, water dripping from it, and a rotting flesh finger points towards the river. You turn to look and follow.
I do. I'm pretty sure that they're not keeping their eyes off.
Because the yogo stopped me is the only reason this thing hasn't been hit with the jade strike.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm trusting that they're going to keep an eye on the spirit while I've see where they're pointing.
So I have my arms in my sleeve ready to pull out my Ofuda to place it on the ground just in case this thing gets hostile.
It's pointing at the river itself, at a small bend that would normally be invisible to people that were in the village.
Were you murdered? Or probably murdered? Why am I even asking?
As the hand is pointing, bits of flesh are just falling off and exposing the bone underneath.
Mm. Yeah.
Nothing different than seeing goblins or Oni.
Yes.
And you stop me, why?
We must appease the spirits, not wantonly destroy them. However, if you're a Toritaka, I would not stop you at all. But we have no Toritaka here, and Lord Kami knows where they are at the moment.
So for the listeners, the Toritaka are the Falcon Clan, and they specialize in dealing with ghosts and spirits. They're a very, very small family hidden away in the south.
Right outside Crablands.
Tell me, what was your name?
Misa.
Well, Misa, what has brought about your death?
Her hand points back to the river. And at this point, the weight of lifting it, her arm falls to the ground and disappears.
All right, I will.
I think the question should have been, who killed you?
I don't know.
Of course not. That would make this easy.
Very well. And trying to remember how to appease spirits here.
A couple different ways. You know, finding their body, and if they weren't having a proper funeral, mm-hmm. is one way. Catching a murderer is another. Righting a wrong done to them.
J-striking them.
That doesn't quite work on Go.
That's like using a sledgehammer to drive in a tiny finishing nail.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would purify them as well as I smite them. And, well, I am a Kuni purifier.
True, but...
Who all's looking at the river?
I was.
I will.
Okay. Water begins, as Kuni is looking at her, water begins to just flow from her mouth. And she splashes into a ethereal puddle of water before disappearing.
I look at the water.
The ethereal water disappeared.
No. I look at the bend in the river.
Okay, the bend in the river water.
The real water.
I'm sure. Is this marshy land or is this...
No. There's pretty clear edges of the water.
Okay, so I'm going from that bend downriver.
Towards the village.
Well, I'm looking in the water.
Trying to find the body that may have floated downriver.
And I may be trying to commune with the water spirits of...
And start poking around at the bend itself, see if she got caught in the rocks.
As you're going down, you see a rather ancient skeleton. I mean, it appears ancient to you guys. It's... All the flesh is gone. It is a skeleton of a small child, possibly about the same age as that spirit.
Okay.
I think we found Misa.
Why does this always happen at night?
Because spirits don't like being out in the day.
Well, neither do I. But anyways, apparently everybody else does.
Question. How deep of a is it?
Where that body is, it would be about a full length of your arm to be able to grab any part of the skeleton.
So what I'm going to do at this point, I'm going to cast Rushing Wave. I mean, unless you want to dictate that I'm kind of flowing the skeleton out onto the land, like a waterbender.
I will let you waterbend this.
All right. Do I have to make a check for it?
I will. The standard.
All right.
Roll.
TN2 Theology. I failed.
Narrate to me how this appears with your failure.
I think the water kami don't want to go near the skeleton because it is basically a restless spirit of a child. So I think, like, okay, yeah, it's here, but we want to avoid it. So, you know, we're not going to help you get this out.
Time to get the Ada?
Yes. Ada, Headman.
There is no flesh. It's just bones. Hike up my... The leggings on my small clothes.
I'll go get the headsman.
Yeah, as he's going to let the guy go in, and I just get the bones.
All right, I am going to have you lose one honor for doing this, just because you are kind of defacing yourself a little bit by doing such a menial task. As you're pulling the bones out, you notice, you know, there's some scraps of cloth, but one thing you notice that's really interesting is a carved blue stone on a leather lanyard that would have probably been around the neck.
As I get him out, I will take a closer look after I've got all the bones out of the water. That way she can be buried, since the Yogo is so adamant about me not jade striking it.
Well, and in Rokugan, they don't actually bury their dead. They'll cremate even the bones.
Yeah.
Last thing you want is walking skeletons.
Which is very concerning right now, and that's probably why the Kami don't want to go near it.
And I will then look at the stone closer.
So it's kind of a medallion shape, round, flat on one side. The image itself is, it looks like if you've seen somebody like drop a single drop of water in slow motion and how it kind of spurts up.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what this looks like. Almost like a pond for Sari. And then with a water drop on top of it and ripples around the sides.
Definitely an interesting medallion.
Interesting. I'm going to roll a earth because I'm trying to go back through my memory. If I've ever seen it. And I believe this would be culture.
All right. This will be a TN4. It's going to be a very hard task to perform.
I'm only be able to do this with an explosion. Maybe. Nope. I guess I will leave an opportunity. Keep only the opportunity because that's a lot of stripe on those successes. An explosive success. So I'm keeping the opportunity. Oh wait, I have the precise memory.
Your precise memory won't help you on this one.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, don't you have to keep the explosion?
Yes, I do. Yes. So, okay, yeah. So it's an explosive success and an opportunity, and that's a strife. Thank you for reminding me.
Now, if you keep the exploded result, you got to keep the exploded.
I'm used to old 5R. Anyways, I do not recognize this symbol.
I'm going to try the same thing.
All right. Is Kitsuki going to do the same thing?
Not there yet. Oh, I'm getting the headsman.
With a bunch of explosions there, you might...
Nope, I had no other successes.
All right. So, yeah, you guys just... it's unrecognizable to you. So, back in the village...
What do you want?
The Kami has showed us a body.
What?
Come with us.
Okay. Okay. I'll be right there.
And he's thinking of sake right now.
Oh, of course he is. Yeah. So
a good night of gambling.
Yeah. So I will politely wait outside his quarters.
He throws on a very casual kimono or hakama.
We found the body right there at the bend.
I don't know of anyone who's gone missing here.
This was around or near said victim.
I don't know anything about it.
Can I do an air culture check on this?
Yes.
Sure. Now that he's seen it.
It'll be earth if you're trying to recall information.
Oh.
I mean, you can analyze it with air, and that's going to give you different information.
Okay, well.
But if you're trying to pick up what this is.
Let's try earth first, which is my weakest ring. Two explosions.
Wow.
And two blanks. So I'm just going to keep that. Just the explosion and nothing. So I don't recall anything about this.
If you want to, I'll let you have a chance to analyze it if you like. Analysis is going to be a TN3.
Okay. And Kitsuki method at a opportunity. Let's see. Let's explode. So that's three successes, three strife, and two opportunity.
All right. So I'm seeing a lot of strife on your board there.
I am at my composure.
All right. So yeah, you've got six.
I have six composure and six strife. So.
All right. So being at your threshold there, what does that mean in the game?
I'm starting to get a little bit quiet, a little bit more withdrawn within myself. Definitely fingering my worry stone a lot more.
All right.
But that was two opportunity, so yes. Let's see what I can do with that. Here we go. Scholar, learn something about the person who created or used the item you are studying. I'm going to learn two bits of information about the person that carried this. Misa.
All right. So the stone is a piece of lapis that has been carved. It's a blue stone, and it has been carved with some great care. There's very little tool marks on the thing. For the person who carried it, it was well cared for. It wasn't handled a lot on one side because it's not worn down. But on the back side, you can see that it has a bit of soft curves on the edge, which at one point had been sharp-edged, hard corners. So clearly it's been handled a lot.
So kind of smooth like my stone that I'm currently.
On the backside, yes.
Yes.
On the front where the design is, it's been taking great care not to have been worn down.
Say it could be worn because she wore it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it could be a valued object to her.
Yes.
Okay.
The leather band itself that held it as a pendant is really, really worn down. It's just a cheap thing to keep this.
Probably almost rotted away.
Yes.
I'm surprised it's not rotted away. Odd.
Probably had oils or some sort of preservatives to protect it.
Well, they're masters of preserving fish right now, so who knows?
But the headman has said no one has gone missing.
In his memory.
As I'm looking at the headman, who's standing right there.
How old is the headman, by the way?
He's in his early 30s or so. About the same age as most of your characters.
And the name of the spirit, what she said her name was?
Misa.
Do you know a Misa?
Not particularly. That sounds more like a name of someone from the village upriver from us.
That does make sense.
And it's a village we were going to go to anyways, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
It is the last one on your list before going to the castle.
And this was the second on our list. So we have two more in between.
Mm. Bundle the body ticket with us when we stop at the village upriver?
You know, I think we should change how we were our stops. Let us go to this village first, and then we can hit the others.
How is the route, though?
There's not really a good road. Not that roads in Rokugan are all that good to begin with. No. This is bad for Rokugan roads.
So it's basically cattle paths, almost.
Yes.
Or game paths, I should say, because we don't... Rokugan has some... Some cattle, but not as much. Mostly in Unicorn Lands, and we're at it, so...
I mean, you're headed towards Unicorn Lands, but still quite a ways off.
I guess. I mean, it's not like it matters who we hit next or who we hit last. As long as we get to Cute and Tonbo in time, we should be good. And I rub my eyes, like, under my mask.
If you're gonna go there, the village under the shadow, I suggest just following the river. It will lead you right there, but, you know, with the body down here, I'd be careful.
I look down at him. I am crap. I am taller than most anyone here. Just look down like you're telling us to be careful.
No offense, honored samurai. None. I'm just used to instructing the people in my village, and it comes secondhand.
Understandable.
Would you like us to pack anything up for you and help you on your way?
I mean, what time is it? Is it like...
It's probably around 2-3 in the morning.
We will take care of that in the morning. Meanwhile, wake some Etta. We should cremate the body.
Are you going to cremate the medallion along with it?
No.
I'll go get the Edda.
If we can find out who Misa's father is, or who her parents are, we can return the medallion to them.
Yes. Yeah. Find out what happened.
And let them know the fate of their daughter.
So how old was... I mean, fish probably ate most of the flesh, which is like, what is, yeah, it's, I find disgusting, like, ew, and I ate that fish. never mind, I'm going back to my room.
You won't be able to tell, there's no technology at this point. Perhaps if you took some of the body to, or even the medallion to the Kitsuki, who you're not going to actually be that far from. They, most of the Kitsuki are at Last Step Castle, which is just north of Castle of the Dragonfly. So, you know, you could probably take the medallion to age it if you wanted, but with what you guys have at hand, it's going to be an impossible task to age anything.
I would rather not deal with any more Kitsuki than I have to right now.
Probably wise. Let's have the Edda cremate the body. We'll take it upriver in the morning.
The rest of the night goes without incident.
Why, hello again. I hope you're enjoying our little ghost story. Poor child, cut down in her youth. Hopefully our magistrates can get to the root of the problem. Now, just a few things to take care of. Don't forget about our contest. Until March 12th, anybody who submits a review and sends an email telling us where they reviewed will be put in a drawing to voice a yokai, kami, or ona in a future episode. Don't worry about proper recording equipment. We'll fix it for you. Speaking of March, our GM... Chris Garvey will be attending Emerald City Comic-Con in Seattle, March 14th through the 17th. He will be there passing out business cards. Sadly, I don't think anybody else will be attending. But please, hunt him down and give him a chat. Please follow us on social media. Our Twitter is at SojPodRPG. That's SojPodRPG. Our Facebook is Facebook.com/SojPodRPG. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/SojPodRPG. It sadly isn't free to produce this podcast, so any little bit helps. And please give us a review wherever you are listening to this. It helps new listeners find the show and lets us know that, you know, real people are listening to the show. Now, back to the show.
Things are gathered. The body has been cremated, and rather than put into a ceramic urn like with the daimyo that committed seppuku earlier, this is just put into a leather pouch that has been sealed with oils and waxes.
Appropriate level of cremation for appropriate status and our known status. So we will head upriver.
It's a bit of a journey. So you have some downtime as you're riding on or walking along. So if there is anything you would like to do with your downtime at this point, please let me know.
With my downtime, I'm going to look more at the medallion, at the craftsmanship. Try to get an idea of if it was a professional craftsman, whether it was a puzzle samurai or a peasant craftsman, style tooling that might have been utilized, and just stuff like that.
Well, with your knowledge of weaponry, you'd be familiar with the techniques for stamping in names and such into blades. So I will let you use one of your benefits, so you can remove one of your strife. But although you don't know a whole lot about masonry, I am going to make you do a roll to get that information. So for that, I am going to do smithing, because that's the closest thing you know.
I'm going to use earth, because you're doing the adapting the, what I know of, blade creation to this style.
Sounds good. And by the way, you'll get void point because I did not specify a TN.
I have... I'll keep them both. So one success, two strife, and opportunity.
You can tell that it was carefully crafted. There's not random tool marks. There's no real weird chipping, which is something you would expect with curves and rounded edges. You're very familiar with straight line marks. So the fact that there's curves is very surprising for you, and you're not exactly sure how they managed to do that without fracturing it. So it was somebody with a fair amount of skill in masonry.
So it would be more than likely not a peasant, because they're more set up to actually do real work. It could be possibly someone in a city that focuses on that. So either she is from a town and not the next village, or she was given it by someone of status. I do believe that we are going to find an interesting conundrum when we do find this young lady's parents.
Most likely.
If she was a peasant with such an exquisitely crafted piece of jewelry, why? That is a good question.
That is. In the meantime, I'm also drawing a sketch of the pendant in my own book so that I have a copy of it.
Are you doing a drawing or an etching?
Etching would probably be easier because you're either on a horse, moving,
or in the cart, yes. So etching would probably be easier.
Okay. I just wanted the clarification for exactness.
Yes.
So you've probably taken a piece of charcoal, put your paper over, rubbed it, so now you have an exact copy of the image.
Right.
Oh, probably won't be doing anything, because...
A little hard to do sumi...
Or calligraphy.
Or calligraphy, as you ride.
Yes, very much so.
Which is why I did the etching. It would probably be easier.
It is a rather long, uneventful detour. Because, you know, they had planned for you to, you know, do a day's trip one way, a day's trip another to get there. And so you will be needing to camp out before you get to this village.
We stopped at all the shrines.
This could be a running gag, isn't it?
Yes.
The peasants that have been coming along find a decent place along the river's edge for you guys to set up camp. They place a couple tents, mainly for you guys. They're going to most likely sleep under the stars because they're peasants.
They're peasants. We're samurai. We get the tents.
We brought tents?
Yes.
Yes.
It's better to be safe than sorry. They would have packed it up for you. The ground is hard, and the wind coming along the river makes the area a little bit colder than what you guys would like. Your sleep is rather uncomfortable.
Hard ground. South the wall's hard. Hell, the wall's hard.
The peasants that came with you and the Ashigaru are sitting around a small fire and sharing a small bottle of sake that they brought along and telling ghost stories to one another.
Oh boy.
Are any of you wishing to join them, or are you going to just stay unto yourselves?
I'm going to stay in my tent and keep an ear out to see if Kuniguru comes out to scare them with some of his true stories.
I will, you know what? I am going to write down many of these stories that they say.
As they're going through their stories, I wait a little bit till they get to the quote-unquote scariest point. At which point, I put my head between two of them and start in on my tales.
Oh, this'll be good.
So I guess, should I make a... I actually would like to make a check for copying this.
I'm
going to
do composition, because that's dealing with literature, poetry, and such.
I'm going to go with void.
So kind of attuning it to it.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead and do your roll, and I've got a story to tell.
What is the check?
Okay. I was going to let you get a void point, but...
Well, you can still say that. I will take that void point.
All right.
So that is two opportunities.
Okay. You'll get most of it down. Sometimes they talk a little too fast for you.
And probably in peasant
and
dialect.
Some jargon that you're not familiar with.
Yeah.
So you're having to take some liberties with it. Mm-hmm. What would you like to do with those opportunities?
I'm going to sense if there's otherworldly being present in the scene, and I'll reduce my next earth check by one.
So I will add that in here in a minute. One of the peasants, he takes a swig straight from the bottle of sake, which is, there's not much left. So he's kind of killing it. You have your own back in the tent.
It's not back in the tent.
Hot in your hands.
I heard story of a water spirit. It would go along the river. The spirit had sharp teeth and long claws. Not only could its teeth rip your flesh, but it had a beak like that of a bird or a turtle that could crush bones. It would look for you when you least expected it, when you went to get a drink of water.
And the kappa would be there when you did not think to find it.
The peasants kind of jump a little bit as this painted face appears in the dark, only reflecting off the white parts of your makeup. When the word kappa comes up, you have just this tingling in the back of, the back of their mind, and has a feeling like there's something watching them.
I want to secretly call Toonie Guru over.
I've got that feeling too, don't I? Or is it just the yoga?
Well, it's because of the advantages.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the yoga. The yoga is a little closer to the river.
Like I said, my face is right between the two.
So I'm gonna sneak off and see if I can't see anything. And just basically have, as I get out of the firelight, just kind of subtly swipe out my Ofuda.
You see a shadowed, because it's pretty dark, and you're only seeing little flickers of light. You're seeing something off near where you sensed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just standing in the river. It looks kind of human shape, and you can hear the sound of water hitting water. Kind of like if someone were to pour a jug of water down.
I sigh. And I think I'll say, call up Kuni-sama. I'd recommend grabbing the weapons. We have something out here.
Splinters of Jade is a work of fiction and uses the Legend of the Five Rings role-playing game's 5th edition rules by Fantasy Flight Games. Splinters of Jade is not affiliated with Fantasy Flight Games. Our music is by Darren Curtis. More of his music can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, as well as on his website, darrencurtismusic.com. Our logo was designed by Nick's Animalia. Audio engineering and editing was done by Brennan Thorson. And thank you for listening.